Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today we'll be talking Mason Shaker and end of summer wines. But first up, food headlines with executive producer of HRN Studios, Jack Inslee.
Makes me sound so official.
You are official, Jack. You are official. Look, first we need to start off by telling folks, if you're on social media, you have to already know what's coming up on September 8th, right?
9th.
9th?
What? 9th.
Oh, see? I'm giving the
but
wrong
I wonder,
date.
Maybe something cool is happening on the 8th, too.
September 9th, right here at Roberta's, members only.
Yes, our first real fundraiser. The menu is good, too.
I'm totally excited about that. Back 40 West. What's their name?
Shauna Pacifico, yeah. And Gramercy Tavern. Michael Anthony will be here. Brooks Headley from Del Posto. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. HeritageRadioNetwork.eventbrite.com.
Yeah, so folks, you totally should come to the party. Go there. You can buy a ticket. But if you can't come, because I know from now until like the next 2 weeks, folks are going crazy, you need to become a member of Heritage Radio Network.
I mean, it's a whole new program now. It's really revamped. So, you know, it's a yearly membership. You get discounts at all kinds of places across New York and soon across the country. So definitely go to the donate section of the website and check that out.
Can't beat it. So the food headlines, Jack, this week.
You remember the Wu-Tang video Triumph from the night?
No.
With the bees, the killer bees just going crazy? All right, well, it was a music video with a huge swarm of killer bees, and that's like essentially what's going on here in Queens. There were 3 million bees seized in Queens, New York.
I am just trying to figure out, Jack, what the hell does 3 million bees look like?
It looks like the Wu-Tang video. You should go.
Really?
That's what I'm guessing. I don't know.
So what's up with this? I only saw the headline. I don't know the full story. So is this a beekeeper? Was he selling the honey?
So this was a Chinese-American beekeeper who had about 45 hives at a small home. I mean, it's just a little bit too much. And, you know, it's funny because this is probably what people were worried about when beekeeping was made legal.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to fine him or what's going to happen to him.
It's not clear yet, but I mean, we'll see. The Beekeeping Association is not happy about it, clearly, because that's giving them a bad name, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, my thought on this is 3 million bees. That's just a little irresponsible. I wonder if he just didn't know.
They're not registered. That's the thing. And the fine, actually, what he could face is a $2,000 per hive fine. So,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah, not until, 2008, if you're listening, just tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, beekeeping was made legal here. And you're right, Jack. I think this is what folks were worried about. But this is absolutely crazy, 3 million bees. So what are they doing with the bees?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll see. They were taken away.
Wow. So. Yeah, I see that it was all over like every major newspaper across the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. What else do we have going on food headlines?
So do you know about Miss Muffin in the Bronx?
I don't.
You don't?
I do not know about Miss Muffin.
It's a really cool situation she has. It's like, she's got a little kitchen in back of an old house, wedged between a pharmacy and a fire station, and she cooks these vegan dishes from scratch, and she sells them for takeout. So kind of like a homemade food takeout operation, and she's planning a really big empire in the Bronx. She kind of wants to recreate like a Whole Foods kind of model.
I'm here to say the Bronx is definitely, without a doubt, the next Brooklyn. I think so. I think there are a lot of, I mean, every time I turn around, I keep hearing something cool is happening in the Bronx, from Majar Carter opening a tech incubator to someone opening a vegan spot. I think the Bronx is the next space to really take off.
Do you spend a lot of time up there?
No, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm going out of town.
Exactly.
I went to the Bronx maybe I went to a conference there. It was actually, Urban Gardening Conference or something in the Bronx. There are a lot of cool stuff that's happening in the Bronx.
But that's what they used to say about Brooklyn, that it was too far away, and you see everybody coming here to Bushwick all the time, so why not the Bronx?
And hey, you know, the rent is too damn high.
Yes, I live in Bushwick. I can attest to that.
So, yeah, good for her.
Too Ms. damn
Muffin.
High.
Yeah, we need to go. We need to get more Bronx people on Hot Grease.
Yeah, well, apparently she's friends with Kool Herc, who helped clear out some of the space that she's trying to use.
Really?
Yeah.
The rapper Kool?
The rapper, yeah.
Oh, cool.
The man who invented hip-hop, some might say.
Okay. Cool. Some All right, Ms. Muffin, congratulations to you. We need to get to the Bronx and check that out.
So there's another article I snuck in here that was in the Post today called Sex on Tap, about restaurants that are, you know, they get a lot of date crowds and how the staff responds to that. And they mentioned that one of the servers said if a guy is splitting the check with a girl, that means the date's not going well. And I thought that was crazy.
I wanted your
thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I'm going out on a date with you, I think a real gentleman needs to pick up the check.
I mean, I think a real gentleman should offer.
Oh, offer, really? Yes. You don't think they should pick up the check?
Well, if I mean, it's 2012, right? I've been on dates where girls were offended if I insisted.
Well, let me say this, Jack. On a first date anyway, I don't think you should be going to like this, you know, nice dinner. It should be very low key. And if someone is crazy or you're like, I don't like him, you should be able to ease your way out. So
yes.
I think coffee, tea, a quick drink somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, you... Sitting down for a whole meal with somebody on the first day? Oh, hell no.
Too much, right?
Too much. So, I mean, $8 or $4 for a coffee or a beer.
I didn't take my girl out on a formal date until, like, the fifth date.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
That's about right.
Yeah, I mean, hey, who wants to spend all this money on someone? And I do. I'm old school. I'm sorry. I just feel like, you know, a guy should pay on the first date.
Well, you should tweet us and tell us what you think.
So, yeah, guys, what do you think? What do you think about our food headlines? What do you think about Sex on Tap? Send us a tweet. You can go to Heritage_Radio.
Yep.
Or send it to Food Cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if you have stuff, articles, food headlines, send it to Heritage Radio.
Yeah, send it to us.
Jack will get it. We'll put it on Food Headlines.
Tell us more about the Bronx.
Yeah, we want to hear more about the Bronx. We've had Karen Washington on the show before, but we want more about the Bronx. All right, Jack. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Y'all heard it. Become a member, HRN. Come to the party. It's going to be hot on the 9th from 5 to 8 right here at Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Summer Wines. The summer is winding down. Keep listening.
Stitcher? Heritage Radio Network is on it, so get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, can you believe that the summer is like officially ending? So why not have a segment all about, you know, hanging on to summer and summer wines, and in the studio to talk you our favorite wines to end summer. It's Michael Brooks, one of the folks behind Bedvine Wine in Bedside, Brooklyn. Welcome to High Grease.
Hey, thank you for having me on here, Nicole.
So, first of all, Bedvine Wine is in Bed-Stuy. I know people who listen to the show all the time always hear me talk about Bed-Stuy, but why Bed-Stuy for a wine shop?
Well, you know, Bed-Stuy is an up-and-coming neighborhood in Brooklyn, and there's a lot of services and needs in Brooklyn that have, in Bed-Stuy specifically, that haven't been fulfilled yet. So one of the things that I wanted to do in Bed-Stuy is to bring a wine culture into Bed-Stuy. And, you know, as Bed-Stuy keeps evolving into one of those up-and-coming neighborhoods, you know, I think that Bed-Vine itself will be a foundation for the culture that's there.
Without a doubt. What I also find very fascinating, when I moved to Bedford-Stuyvesant at least, 4 years ago, there was only one wine shop, and it's literally on the other side of the neighborhood. I am fortunate enough to live two blocks from Bed-Vine. So I'd say kudos for you guys for, you know, really being a pioneer. Because now, you know, everyone wants to open up a wine spot in Bed-Stuy. So kudos to you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been really great for us. The neighborhood has received us very well. And I think that the concept that we have is unique, that separates us from the competition. And that's that we believe in connecting people. We've been even partnering with the community. We believe in putting emphasis on the community and coming together to create something larger than what you could create by yourself. And so we've been able to combine art, music, and a lifestyle into the wine, and being able to reach out to different groups, restaurants, and create something special.
Yeah, because you guys have done like dinners with like Do or Dine, all the hottest restaurants that people are talking about, not in only in Brooklyn, but really throughout the country. That's what I find really, really cool and very interesting. But let me ask you this. Do you specialize in a certain type of wine or a certain region of wine? When folks walk into Bed-Vine, what should they expect in terms of variety?
What they should expect is when they come into Bed-Vine, that they're going to leave with the wine that suits the situation that they are looking for. We don't specialize in a region or anything like that. We specialize in finding the right wine for you. That's why when you come to the store, you'll see that wines are organized by taste and not by region.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I absolutely love the store. By the way, who did the design? Because I think it's a very interesting and smart way to like build out a space.
The design was done by Tony Mullins of Mullins Studio. Tony is a guy that came over here from Ireland 2 years ago. And, you know, the concepts that he had for the store, he's like, you know, wine store needs to be small, intimate, and quaint and cozy. And just, you know, when we were looking for people to design the store, I liked the way that he, you know, his concept of how he felt how the store, you know, would work in this nice small space. And a lot of people didn't think that, you know, a space that's less than 300 square feet would work for a wine store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people were like, no, this is not going to work. But, you know, for some reason, I felt that was going to work. And Tony, the guy who designed the store, he also designed our logo, was like, this is going to be a perfect spot. And you know what? It really helps to have vision sometimes.
Yeah. So, Michael, I have to ask you, how did you get into wine?
I got into wine by chance, to be honest with you. It was really, really random. To make a long story short, my background is pharmaceuticals, and you know, I got out of corporate and started doing project management. And I basically came off a major project after a 2-year project, and I had a friend that was like, listen, I want to open a wine store, I need a partner. And I was like, huh, all right, this could work. And this was in Flatbush, by the way. I was like, this could either be really big or be really bad, but since I'm a risk taker, I'm like, all right, let's go for it. And we opened a store, and we made way more money than I ever anticipated.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not going back to corporate. I'm done.
I love that story. So you just basically start off as a wine lover.
Yeah, I started off as a wine lover. When I first started in this industry 4 years ago, all the knowledge I had about wine was book knowledge. That was it. And when I got started and started opening, when I opened my first store, I was getting beat up on people who knew a lot more about wine than I did, you know, because I could just repeat stuff verbatim, but I didn't have the actual practical knowledge of tasting. If you just read and you don't taste, you're missing something. And the people that taste and don't read, they're missing something as well, too. But they still know more about wine if they taste than if someone who just read. And so, you know, I got beat up pretty quickly, and I learned that, you know what, I have to increase my practical knowledge of wine. And that's why I started going through a lot of tasting and stuff like that. And in the past 4 years, I've tried about 15,000 different wines.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what I hear. I'll be honest with you. I love wine, but I'm not adventurous. I kind of like stick to the same thing. And what I'm hearing you say is that it's all about trying, getting a new bottle. So every time I come in bed vine, I need to be getting a new bottle of something and tasting so my palate can... and I need to take notes. Do you recommend folks take notes after they have a bottle of wine or they buy something from Bed Vine or their local wine shop? Should they write it down? Because that's what always happens, to at least to me. I have a great bottle of wine and I'm like, oh, I didn't even get the name of that.
Well, see, the cool thing with us is that we have a freaking bar program where we keep a history of the bottles that you purchased, and we also give you rewards as well too. So with us, if you come in and you pick up a bottle of wine you can't remember, we can go through your history. We can find which bottle of wine you had. And also, since the wines are quite categorized by taste, you don't have to pick the same bottle every time. You can pick a bottle within the same taste category or the taste category that's next to it. And that's the great thing about what we try to provide at Bed Vine is the experience of being trying something new and having a pleasurable outcome.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, Michael. We're going to come back with part one of the Hot Five, the summer wine, end of the summer wine edition. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check our program schedule and show archives at heritageradionetwork.org. We're talking end of the summer drinking wines with Michael Brooks of Bed Vine. And you know how we do it here on Hot Grease? We always give you the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the food movement. Influencers, tastemakers, business owners, and celebrities give us their faves right here on Hot Grease. So, Michael, we're doing it. We're doing five wines to end the summer with. We're going to start off with reds first. So you got to convince me, Michael, on the red thing, because I'm not a big red wine drinker.
Okay. Well, basically, since we're doing end of summer reds right now, or end of summer wines, the one thing you want to consider is that the summer's ending. And so that means that the season is going to change. So in order for that, you have to be able to transition into wines so that you can get into the fall and into the winter with a seamless transition in your palate. So the first wine I would recommend for this transition is going to be this wine called Peljesek. It's from Croatia. The grape is Plavac Mali. And what you'll notice is this is a light wine, almost similar to a Pinot Noir. But this is going to be a little bit different because it's got ripe raspberry flavors. And you can look at the color of it, and it's got like a little bit of lighter color as well, too. And it's, you know, and the aromas, you got spice notes, and then it's got some minerality as well, too. But this is a great wine to, you know, transition into the fall.
Okay, so I'm trying it now. Michael brought all the wines here, right here on Hot Grease. So I'm going to try it. You said I love Pinot Noir, so I'm going to try it now. I love it. Not like this. You know how red wine has this like oak bite sometimes at the back? It does not have that. Very smooth and not very acidic. Love it.
Yeah, this is a smooth wine that you could have with seafood.
It's really good. And so it's from Croatia. Yeah. Everybody's going there now on vacation. What's up with that?
Man, the Croatian, the islands they have, they're beautiful. The climate is beautiful. I haven't been, but I've seen the pictures of the vineyards and the islands there. And I'm like, man, I need to get there. And they said right now it's pretty inexpensive, but they said pretty soon it's not going to be inexpensive. So
this is really, really good. I love this. So there you have it. Tell us the name one more time.
So the grape is called Plavac Mali. Plavac Mali is an offspring between a cross between Zinfandel and a native varietal in Croatia that I cannot pronounce. And the wine is called Pljesak.
Pljesak.
And it's got a donkey or a mule on the cover of it. So you come to Bedvine, just say, hey, I want the donkey wine. I'll hook you up.
I love it. Okay, so we're moving to number 4 on the Hot 5. I'm pouring Michael some now. The Hot 5 Summer Wine Editions. This is, what is this? Vintox? What's this?
Ventu.
Ventu.
Ventu is actually a section in the Rhone Valley. So people always like, you know, they say Cote de Rhone. So this is just a section of the southern Rhone Valley, Ventu. Cote de Rhone is typically a blend of Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. This wine right here we have is 100% Grenache. And what you're going to notice is this wine is going to be a little bit heavier than the Plavac Mali. It's going to help ease that transition into a Cote de Rhone. It's a medium body wine. You're going to get aromas of dark berry, dark cherry. You're also going to get some nice soily minerality to the wine as well, too. This is a wine that you're going to have with lamb, steak, you know, other heavier fares as you start moving in to the fall. Even with burgers, too. You can have this with burgers.
I love this. I'm convinced on the red wine thing. This is really good.
I'm glad you like it.
So, Michael, give me one more red wine because we're going to move to our favorite. We're going to take a break and move to my favorites. But if folks come into Bedvine or people who don't live in New York City and they're listening to this show and they want to get into reds, what do you suggest to them, something that you carry in Bedvine for them to pick up?
Well, another red wine that's doing very well right now is this wine called Dornfelder. It's from Germany. And this wine has a little bit of sweetness to it. Not too sweet. It's a semi-sweet or off-dry. And you get like ripe, candied berries on it and cola notes, like in balsamic notes on the finish. But it's a great wine for a transition into the fall as well, too, because this wine is easy to drink and you don't have to be an experienced wine drinker to enjoy this wine. This wine, you can throw a little chill on it, and it's a nice wine that, you know, that just wets your palate.
So there you have it. Number 5, 4, and 3 of the Hot 5. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with more Michael Brooks. I'm impressed, Michael Brooks. You really know this thing, huh? We're going to come back and we're going to count down number 2 and 1 on the Hot 5 Summer Wine, End of Summer Wine Edition. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back. To Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. The show is produced by myself and Mr. Jack Inslee, and I'm being engineered today by Joe G. Let's give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street, the location of 2 sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. We're back. We're doing the Hot 5, and we're down to our white wines here with Michael Brooks of Bedvine Wines. So, Michael, I'm already drinking on number two on our list. I'm sipping on it already. I started the show, pre-show drink. What am I drinking on?
You're drinking on, it's called the ETZ Gruner Veltliner from Kamptel, Austria. Now, this wine is an all-purpose wine because it's got flavors of white peach, apricot, but not too heavy in the flavor, just a nice nuance on it. It's got good acidity, and it goes down like water.
It's really, really good. So, what would you? So, this would be under the white wine section in Bedvine under the taste?
The crisp white wine section would go under.
Okay, so would you say that this wine also you could typically or ideally have this in the fall?
Absolutely. This wine right here is a wine that could be had anytime. It's very versatile. The character of it and the body of it changes with the seasons. So summertime, you know, you have it, it drinks like water, and then you come into the fall and it starts gets a little bit fuller in the complexity, but it's just an all-purpose wine. It goes down so smooth. It's one of the wines that are just like it's unbelievable. It's like an anomaly because it just changes with the situation, and it's just it's perfect.
So, Michael, what are your plans since we only have a week and a half of the official end of summer? Are you going to be drinking wine every day, or?
I'm going to be drinking a lot of rosé.
Rick Ross, Ricky Rosé. So, look, let me ask you this: we have to talk about the rosé. Do you think Rick Ross, and if you're listening, Jack and I talked about Rick Ross a few weeks ago on Food Headlines. He's a rapper. Do you think Rick Ross popularized rosé? Or was it already popular?
I mean, again, I think rosé was already popular. But then, you know, when you have someone like a Rick Ross already start talking about it, then all of a sudden it just steamrolls into, you know, a snowball effect. So, I think it was already popular, but I think that with him putting on it, you know, endorsing it and talking about it, just put it over the top.
Yeah, it's like that other wine I can't stand that everybody talks about, which is a dessert wine, but everyone wants to drink it for. I'm not even going to say the name because I don't even really like it.
Yo, Moscatno?
Yes, Moscatno. Oh, God. It's like, you guys do have Moscato in Bedvine. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who drink it, but I think a lot of folks who are not into really spirits and cocktail and wines, they gravitate towards it because it's so sweet. But I wonder if people really know that it's a dessert wine.
You know what? Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Do you care, though, as a owner of a wine store when people come in there and they want Moscato and they're not doing it as dessert wine? Do you try to educate or what?
It depends on the situation. If they like it, see, to me, the most important thing about wine is your palate. So if it's a dessert wine or not and you're drinking it with a steak, to me, I'm okay with that because if you like it, then it's fine. That's what I care about. You know, I don't think there's wine has to be so rigid where you have to have it for this and that. I think that if dessert wine, you know, goes with your steak, then why not?
Okay, I guess. Okay. I just really dessert wine with steak. Hey, I guess people like different things, right?
Absolutely.
It's just like, you know, drinking a beer with a straw.
Yeah.
You know, people like different things. Okay, so number one on our list, the final wine from Bedvine Wine, a.k.a. Michael Brooks. And Michael, let me see, it's not only you that owns Bedvine Wine. There, you have a few other partners, correct?
Yes, I do.
How many other folks?
I have three other partners.
Okay, and can you officially say that you guys are opening a new venture, or is it still in the works or what?
Yeah, it's still in the works.
Still in the works. I can't wait till it possibly happens because we really need it. Okay, so Bedvine Wine, if people are listening before we pour this last wine, how can they find you guys?
They can find us on the website, www.bedvine or bed-vyne.com. They can find us on Facebook, Bedvine Wine Shop. Or they can find us on Twitter, Bedvine Wine Shop, as well.
There you have it. Okay, so we're down to number one. Favorite wine here, one of my favorites. I love a sparkling wine. I'm drinking a sparkling here that I just poured. Michael, what's the name of this sparkling?
It's called Calixte. And It is a Rosé Cremant from Alsace, France. And this wine is a wine that has spent time in oak barrels. It's a sparkling wine that spent time in neutral oak. And that neutral oak adds just a little bit of tad of toast to it. So you're getting fresh strawberries, nice minerality to it, and a little bit of toast on the back end of the palate. Great, refreshing drink. Great transitions into the fall because, you know, people been drinking those rosés all summer long.
Yeah.
And then you come into the fall, you're not going to want to drink the rosés as much, but this sparkling rosé will help you transition, you know, into the fall. And then
this one is a little sweet. I like it, but I'm used to a drier rosé. And not sweet, but more so full body.
Yeah, the oak contact adds a little bit of fullness to it.
Yeah, but it's good though. Michael, I love it. I'm going to be, I have no food. I haven't had any food. And at this point, I probably had 2 glasses of wine. I'm feeling really great, Michael. How about you?
Hey, I'm feeling good. I had some food at Roberta's. The pizza was slamming.
And, always.
Always. And I might have to grab some more before I leave.
All right, Michael. Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease.
I'll
see you in the hood. Listeners, as always, thank you for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is the most trusted media outlet for real, quality conversations about food. That experience will come to life at our first annual members-only fundraiser party on September 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Enjoy the best food in the world from talent including Michael Anthony, award-winning chef from Gramercy Tavern, Brooks Headley, award-winning pastry chef from Del Posto, Shauna Pacifico at Back 40 West, sustainable seafood from Sea to Table, and much more, including drinks made by Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues, craft beer from Greenpoint Harbor Brewery, wine from Cane Vineyard and Winery in the Napa Valley, and plenty more. Radio is back, and this will be a special, exclusive experience in the back garden of Roberta's that you don't want to miss. September 9th, 5 to 8 p.m. Buy tickets at heritageradionetwork.eventbrite.com.